Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast on Business Radio X. I'm your host, Stephanie Diaz, and we are broadcasting live today from the Roswell Infinity Studios at Digital Ignition in Alpharetta, Georgia. Just to let you know, if you are listening live and you want to get a behind-the-scenes look at the studio and all of the fun that we're having in here, you can follow on Twitter at NorthFultonBRX. Tweet at NorthFultonBRX. And you'll see all of the fun stuff that we've got going on. And I'm super excited for today's episode because, as you may know, if you've been listening for any like period of time, for me, a great guest is about like their energy and the message that they have to share. And I have known this person for a while now. We attend an event together each week, every Wednesday morning, and his energy and just the message that he has for entrepreneurs is something that I had to bring to the show. So welcome, Craig of In Motion Air. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Just to give the listeners a little bit of background, we first met at 1 Million Cups Atlanta, which is a weekly pitch. And something that's really unique about 1 Million Cups is like the pitch presenter gets about an hour of just discussion after their pitch is done with the entire group. And you're someone who I always like the second you raise your hand, I'm always excited to hear what you have to say. Why don't you share with the listeners a little bit more about you and In Motion Air?
Sure.
And then we'll dive into all the fun stuff.
Thank you, Stephanie, for having me. I actually enjoy speaking about my business and about the life of an entrepreneur. It has been 18 years or going on 18 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's been quite a journey.
We'll talk all about it.
Yes, we will. Well, my name is Craig Bilderbach. My company is In Motion Air. My background is in sports. I started working in sports in 1994. And started my first business in the year 2000, working in sports. I started as a consultant, and my first business was building truck and trailer vehicle experiences for sports companies. Nike, Reebok, Adidas, Under Armour would come to me and ask for help in a grassroots approach to a launch of a shoe, apparel, hard goods at an event like the Boston Marathon, the Super Bowl, and so on. So I had a lot of experience in vehicular marketing, which led me to my second business, which is what I do today. I build inflatable sports equipment, batting cages, backstops, soccer goals, lacrosse goals, more on the commercial side, more so than the residential side. Again, trying to revolutionize sports by portability, having something that can blow up in a gymnasium when it's cold, something can be at a tournament, something can be at a trade show. That's what my business is now. I, as an entrepreneur, wanted to do something that I absolutely loved. I love sports. I love being around sports. I love watching sports. And I knew it was my passion and I knew I was good at it. Starting a business was a very difficult thing to start. Mm-hmm. I was kind of a gunslinger, Stephanie. I decided
which could be good and bad.
Yeah,
like it can work for you in some moments, and then it'll work against you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was challenging, but I was so convinced that I can make it work. I didn't realize that I had a 6-month-old at the time. I had a mortgage. My wife was not working. I just decided to do it. So I didn't do a lot of planning. Which, you know, looking back, that's what I try to tell future entrepreneurs: do your homework.
Yeah.
You know, listen to mentors. Read books. I didn't do that. I decided, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I did. And there was a lot of bumps in the road that got me to where I am today. I would say to any entrepreneur, it is the most difficult thing I've ever done. It's been more difficult than watching a dying father die. It's more difficult than having children. It's the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. Yet, it's the most fulfilling thing that has ever happened to me in my life.
Well, and often it's because of those like moments where you don't have it all figured out, you know, and it's just like this big puzzle and you don't have that picture to look at to know where all the pieces go. But it's because you've been in that place where sometimes it feels like hope is lost. But when you come out of that and then you can look back on it, that's where, I mean, that's just like, so, like you said, rewarding, and it gives you so much pride and a lot of confidence for what you can do in the future too.
Absolutely. You know, the thing that I also have learned is how important failure is in a business. Having failure along the way has allowed me to grow. And that's the message that I always tell people. You have to be willing to fail. You have to fail in order to grow in a business. My ego has been bruised quite a bit. Yeah, what ego? Right. It's been bruised. I think the greatest gift not only is wisdom and experience, but humility.
Yeah.
You know, being humbled. Having your own business humbles you, mm-hmm. you know. Looking at your financials and saying, holy cow, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
You know, how am I going to support not only my business, but how am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to pay health insurance? Those are humbling experiences. And if it wasn't for me saying, you know what, I got to keep moving forward. I love what I do and I believe in this so much, has allowed me to get over that hump.
Wow. I get that. You know, I mean, my journey has been, you know, very similar. You know, it's like you believe in it so much and people resonate with it. But it's just so much bigger than that. There's so many different aspects of the business, the financials, the marketing, you know, everything, the systems that drive it. There's just so much to think about. And especially when you are, you know, the owner and you don't have a huge team under you, it can get really hard to, one, know what you're going to do next. And then even if you know it, you got 24 hours in the day and we want to sleep and we want to be with our families to get it all done.
Amen.
So I want to go back to, where did you get the idea for this, for the inflatable sports equipment? When did that come to you?
Okay. So in my first business, I was building these vehicular experiences. And a lot of times, Stephanie, there were a lot of kid events. And when we were showcasing a product, if it was a shoe or apparel or hard good, the kids would look at it for 30 seconds and then they'd want to leave. And we needed a captive audience. We needed something interactive. So I came up with the idea of an inflatable. Like, you know what? Let's do something inflatable, something they can throw into a Target.
Yeah.
And I did. So one of my customers was Wilson, which was a baseball company. I built an inflatable batting cage, just a big cage. And we threw baseballs. We had 30, 40 kids deep. So that means that these parents were sticking around for 3 to 4 to 5 hours. Which we reverted to them going in the store and buying product.
Right.
Where this kind of evolved was I started getting calls from other companies saying, we can't afford the vehicles, but we really want the inflatables. So that's when I started to see that change, is the inflatables were becoming more demand than the vehicular experiences that I was building. And to the point where I divided the companies into two different companies and then eventually shut down the vehicular company and went with the inflatables.
Now, when you had the idea for the inflatable, I mean, then you had to have it made. What was that process like?
It was a huge process. So, you know, product development takes time. First of all, you have to find a legitimate manufacturer. The kind of product that I build is inflatable. So there's a lot of variables. You have to deal with wind and performance and so many different things. So
I was going to ask, how do you get it to stay and it doesn't blow away?
Well, it's the type of material that you use.
Okay.
We use a specific commercial grade PVC material. It's more like putting a boat in the water rather than a big nylon one that's for a bounce house.
Mm-hmm.
Because wind plays a big factor outside. And if a baseball's hitting it at 100 miles an hour, it has to hold.
Yeah.
So, and again, with product development, it's taken years. It's taken me 13 years to finally get the batting cage, using the batting cage as an example, or the golf bay to where it's at today.
Mm.
But product development, finding the manufacturer, you just can't email and say, hey, this is a good manufacturer. You have to go and visit. You have to build a relationship. You have to build prototypes. You have to test the prototypes. That's how products are developed and improve. If you just say, hey, online, build me something and ship it.
A lot of money down the drain.
A lot of money down the drain. And eventually failure will happen. So that's kind of how the inflatables come about, is that there was a demand for it. Then I saw that there was such a need for portability, especially for indoor. Everybody says, you do a lot of business in Georgia? Nope. We do a lot of business in the cold regions, the New Yorks and the North Dakotas and the Washingtons, where it's cold, where they're playing sports indoors 4 to 6 months out of the year.
Mm.
So I saw, okay, I'm going to jump all over this. So, you know, I decided to build products specific to indoor use.
Now, really quick, going back to the product development process and, you know, working with those manufacturers, that can be, I mean, there's a lot of upfront costs even before you're making money on the product. Have you ever had investors or has this been 100% self-financed?
Very, very good question. I did seek investors. That didn't work out for whatever reason, because I had such a revolutionary new product, people couldn't get their hands on it. Mm-hmm. So I self-funded it. I would honestly say to this day, I've probably invested close to $1 million in product development.
Wow.
If you look at 13 years.
Yeah. Over time, because you're still iterating.
And again, part of the failure was there was a time when the banks were lending a lot of money. I jumped all over it. And I used that money for product development and getting the warehouse. And really the biggest expense is learning curve.
Yeah.
The mistakes. You know, I hired people that could try to sell it. They didn't. I purchased this warehouse. That didn't work out. Mm. You know, I had these huge insurance policies that didn't work out.
Wow.
And it led me to today, you know. I would say, you know, in terms of learning curve, what I have learned over the last, you know, 17 years is there is a difference between an entrepreneur and a business owner. What you have to figure out is where do they come together? What I knew is I was a good visionary, good entrepreneur. I was a poor business owner. I did not manage my business.
Yeah.
I manage people, mm-hmm. You know, which was, that's a different animal in itself, managing people. So that's the lesson that I've learned, or at least over the last 5 years, is I've become a pretty good business owner now.
Yeah.
Not just a good entrepreneur. So being able to tie that together, Stephanie, now I have a good system. Now I am in place to take my business to the next level.
And something that I really want to pull out, I mean, this message is, you know, is so important to a lot of those early entrepreneurs right now, because typically that's where you're starting out. You are a visionary, you had an idea, and now you're coming to this, you know, new challenge. And you're probably, I mean, odds are 9 out of 10 times, you're not going to have all of those skills to be the great manager and business owner, you know, operationally and all of that stuff. And so you've got to have, though, a system or figure out how you're going to gain those skills and know that that is one of your new challenges. It's not just about sharing this idea and inspiring people and, you know, all of this. There's so much in the back end. But also, I think you got to give yourself a little bit of permission. Like, we didn't come in this world knowing how to walk, but we figured it out. Like, you got to figure it out. You got to know where your weak spots are and then invest in building those up.
Absolutely. That's why it's so important that I emphasize learning curve. Every entrepreneur, every business owner has to have a learning curve. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you don't know how to ride a bike until you ride a bike.
Right. And knowing that it is possible. That's something that in your kind of survey that I sent over to you, I said, you know, what's something about your entrepreneurial journey that you're excited to share? And you said that it is possible. Yeah. And what I love about that, based on what we've just talked about, is that, you know, like, you're going to have times where you think, I'm not good at this. You see your weaknesses very clearly, because entrepreneurship will show you your weaknesses, like in the ways that you don't want to see it. But it's about saying, okay, like, figure it out. It's still possible, you know, even from where you're at, you can still get there.
I agree. I mean, I always look at all the examples that are in the world, the people that's, you know, the owner that started Walmart, Chick-fil-A, Kentucky Fried Chicken. They're all stages of their life, right? They all started at different stages in their life, but they made it possible.
Right.
You know, and I can honestly say that I made it possible, you know? And then the chips were against me. I mean, again, trying to raise a family. My wife didn't work for 16 and a half years, trying to come up with that financial piece to support my family while I grew my business. I made it work. Was it difficult? Yes.
Yeah.
But I made it work, because it is possible. And this country allows you to get there. And that's what's so beautiful about being an entrepreneur, is that it is possible. And I tell everybody that it's possible. But you're going to have to take...
How deep are you willing to dig to find the person that can make it happen?
Right. And there are a lot of them, and you've seen them, and I've seen them, that we see, I say, they're going to make it or they're not going to make it. It's just, they just don't have it.
Yeah.
You have to be able to persevere.
Let's chat a little bit about 1 Million Cups, because we have the opportunity to start our Wednesday mornings hearing about one entrepreneur's idea And they're at multiple stages, you know, in their growth, but, you know, hearing about their idea and what they're doing to take it to the next level, or sometimes just to get it launched off the ground. You know, what have you seen by being a part of that group? What do you see in the different presenters that really stands out to you?
Well, I look for, first of all, Steffi, it's a very good question. What I look for is, do they have an interest in their business, or are they doing it because, are they doing it because of the money?
Yes.
So I look at the first 5 or 10 minutes of the presentation, and then I make my first impression of that particular entrepreneur. And you see it and I see it, you'll see that, okay, this is going in the right direction, mm-hmm. or they have no idea what they're talking about, or they're doomed. You know, I mean, when I see pie in the sky numbers, that is always a red flag for me. You know, I like when someone has contingencies. If this doesn't work in year one, what's the contingency plan? Mm-hmm. And I know that comes with experience, but I really look for someone that's passionate about what they like. They love what they're doing, that they're passionate about it. They've been in the industry and they want to do something to make a difference. When I hear, I want to make a difference in the world, make it a better place, I'm tuned in.
Yeah.
Right? If they're doing it because they're looking at getting an investor and making $50 million, $60 million, I basically tune out.
Right. I can't talk enough about how important that really is. And I like, for so many reasons. One is when we talk about digging deep, when you have that passion, that's what creates that drive. If you're just doing this for money, well, the desire for money is, I won't get into psychology, but that can fade. You know, and sometimes you just aren't willing to go that far for an extra few bucks in your bank account. But when you have a true passion, something that keeps you up at night, something that even when you're out and you're not on the clock, you're still getting inspiration from what's around you, that first of all helps you to go down and dig deep and, you know, bring forward all of the energy that you're going to need to get this thing off the ground. But two, it brings other people to you faster. Clients, investors, partners, you know, all of the village that you really need, because you can't do it, you know, just by yourself. Those people are just like magnets to you when you have found the thing that you're really passionate about.
Amen. Good job, Stephanie. I totally 100% agree with you. That's exactly how I feel as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I value, to me, is so important. The product and the service that I want to provide for my customer has to be the very best. I want it to be the very best. And when a customer is going to invest in your product, I want them to be satisfied, not only with the product, but with the service that I provide for them. You know, I want people to say, Craig, this is great, but you've been great too. Mm-hmm. You know, not just because I'm Craig, because I want them to know how important this business is to me, but how great this product is and how good the customer service that comes along with it, because right. I'm passionate about it.
Exactly. So, okay. So passion is one of the things that you are really kind of tuning into when you're watching these pitches. What's something else that really stands out to you?
Reaction to feedback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reaction to feedback. When someone becomes defensive or doesn't know how to react to feedback, then I throw up a red flag. Having your own business is all about feedback. It's all about how you react to the obstacles and the people that are involved in your business, or the outsider, the customers. So the reaction to feedback is important to me. The other thing would be is confidence. You know, if you don't have confidence in your ability to present your product, your service, your business, how can I have confidence in investing in you, right?
So when you talk about confidence, is that in like their confidence in their plan? Is it how they present? Like, what are the key indicators of confidence?
Okay. So in presentation, eye contact is one. When someone makes good eye contact, usually tells me that they're confident.
Yeah.
The way they hold themselves up, you know, the way they approach the person that asked the question, mm-hmm. the way they walk around, how they dress, mm-hmm. right? Now, if I'm an investor and someone comes in, and sometimes they come in shorts and flip flops, that's a bad impression for me.
Yeah.
Right? So confidence is a very important thing. Confidence is important in anything. Now, being in sports, confidence is very important. You have to have confidence in order to succeed in sports. The same with business. If you don't have confidence, if you want to hide behind the wall and you don't want to talk to people, chances are you're going to fail.
And what you're talking about too, all of this is taken into account into like what your personal brand ends up becoming. And as the owner of your company, like you are a big part of the brand of the company. And so how you're showing up is as important, if not more so, than the product or the idea. And what you just touched on is, you know, you can have confidence in your idea, but how much confidence do you have in yourself? You know, Bingo. You might be taking care of your business. Are you taking care of yourself? People will tune in on those things. And it might be the slightest thing. Like you said, it might just be, you know, how much eye contact you made or how you showed up, how you dressed, how you presented yourself. It could be those little things, but people will pick up on them and it will either work for you or against you.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, the thing about it is in business, first impression means everything, right? When we go to a restaurant, if it's not a good first impression, chances are you're probably not going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
The same with your business. If you're talking to an investor and you don't make a good first impression, chances are that investor probably won't come back.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have to have first impression. You have to be able to exude confidence in that first time that you meet a Stephanie or whoever that you're presenting to.
Right.
I had the opportunity to be on Shark Tank. I got to the Shark Tank. I did Shark Tank in 2013.
You did? I didn't know this.
I did.
Is there a video somewhere?
No, I probably do. It was months. I went and tried out in April of 2013 at the Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an executive producer called me back. So I worked with them for months on my pitch and sitting down with the Sharks. The day I was going to fly out to pitch to the Sharks, I was told by the network that I wasn't going to be presenting.
Oh, wow.
So I got to the last stage of it. But again, in that situation and in that experience, what I learned is how important first impression was.
Yeah.
You know, they were interested in my business, Stephanie, but they were more interested in me as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And the journey that I was in and the energy that I,
right.
you know, that I presented to them.
Right. It's intangible, but sometimes it's everything.
Right. I mean, we want to leave a lasting impression. What an advantage that I have is I have a loud voice. It's memorable. Yeah. I want to be memorable.
Well, and it's not just your voice too, but it's also what you say. You know, yeah. You say what's on your mind and not in like in a bad or like abrasive way, but you speak, you know, you're genuine and people connect to that too.
Yeah. And in that situation, I do care because mm-hmm. I know how hard it is to become a business owner. And I also know what it takes behind the scenes to become a business owner. You know, the late nights,
yeah,
the sweating over, I don't have the money or I don't have the product or it's not right or my customers are not there. I get all that.
Yeah.
So for someone to put themselves out there, good for you.
Something that we were talking about just before we went on air was the lonely road. You know, let's talk a little bit about that. For all of you listening that are entrepreneurs and you're like, it is such a lonely road. We're all going to commiserate here a little bit together.
Yeah. I would say for me personally, that has been the most difficult part of the journey is being alone. At the end of the day, I go to bed with my business alone. Okay. I don't share it. I may share it with my wife. Mm-hmm. I may share it with a coworker, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, it's with me.
Mm-hmm.
When I wake up, I get on an airplane. I travel all over the world. I travel the United States. I travel alone quite a bit. So I'm alone. When things are tough, when things are difficult, if there's a defective product, if there's damage, if I get a bad report, it's on me.
Yeah.
I have to handle it alone. It's not like I can pass it off to you, Stephanie, and you take care of it. It just doesn't work like that. So for anybody that has their business, they understand what I'm saying. Because we all go through that. You know, we may have partners and we may have workers and we may be doing well, we may not be doing well, but at the end of the day, it's with us alone. Part of being alone is you have to be self-motivated.
And you also have to be really clear on your values. You know, you can't waver. You know, you have to be make quick decisions and really know what you stand for so that you know when you're on the right track. And when you've detoured a little bit.
Amen to that. I absolutely agree with that. You know, in making decisions, you know, the difficult thing for me, Stephanie, is finally I started to making decisions with my head, not with my heart. I made a lot of decisions with my heart regarding employees that I knew that didn't work out, but I felt so bad because I had a kid at home or whatever, but it hurt my business.
Mm.
So making those decisions, the hardest thing ever in business is when you have to let someone go from your business.
Right.
You know, and I've heard the worst, you know, and it's heart-wrenching, but it was the best decision for the business. And you have to do that alone.
Yeah.
You know, you have to make that call. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just send an email and say, call it. You have to call that person.
You can't call in sick that day and just, yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
And when you're sick or when you're not feeling it or when you're like, you know what? I'm about to throw in the towel. I am done with this. I mean, you could take 30 seconds and say that, but at the end of the day, it's still there.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously the financial part of it. The money, the debt that I've accrued over the time, it's like a monster in the room. It's like the elephant in the room, right? It never goes away. So unless you deal with it, which I finally have,
yeah,
you know,
finally have,
it's always going to be there. And again, it's how you look at debt is part of the journey. Everybody that has ever had a business for a long period of time is going to find debt in their world.
Right. You've got to invest in yourself. So whenever you're about to take on a next level, that's usually going to require an investment.
Yes.
You know, and yeah, you have to reset your mind around like, what does it mean to take on debt? And also, do I believe, you know, how much do I believe in this next level that I'm willing to put forth this investment in order to get me there?
Yep.
To make sure that the right people are a part of it, to make sure I've got the right foundation in place.
Yep. Agree. And I think the biggest thing in business, certainly I've learned as a business owner, is how important cash flow is.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started my business, I thought revenue minus expenses equals profit. Profit is what I have, right? Well, I don't realize that profit and cash flow are two different animals,
mm-hmm.
right? Because profit can be spread out into a lot of different things, but cash flow is what keeps you going.
Right.
Right? Because you could have receivables, but the guy doesn't pay you in 30 days and you don't have the cash to pay this and this, you can't operate.
True.
So I've learned that cash is king.
This is
cash
true.
Is king in business,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for a business owner, it comes down to cash. And those that have experienced that and then have been successful need to be the ones telling the future entrepreneurs, this is probably the most important part of the entrepreneurial business owner journey.
Right.
Cash. And that's why we look for investments. And that's because we're looking for cash to grow our business, to grow to that next level.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, because of what you said, I mean, just because you make a sale doesn't mean the client's paying. I mean, you might have terms of 60, 120, you never know. And especially, I mean, you mentioned some big names that you work with. The bigger the name that you're working with, as great as you might feel, the more leverage they have to negotiate terms that work for them versus you.
It's absolutely right. I mean, the two hardest things in business that I've ever dealt with is employees and collections, trying to collect the money.
When my past life is in pharmaceuticals, and I was a national accounts manager for a pharmaceutical generic startup, but it was a startup, so small company. So even though my primary role is sales and account management, at some point I find myself, I'm charged with managing the accounts receivable team. So I spent about 8 months working to collect about $15 million from some of the biggest wholesalers. And I learned a lot about, you know, and I mean, having to go back to the contracts that we negotiated. And I mean, they had all the leverage, you know, in those days, and it can really tear you down.
And at the end of the day, honestly, nobody wants to pay. They don't want to write a check.
Oh, or
they don't want to submit an AC.
Conference calls and everything.
Nobody wants to send that money out, right? So they want your service. They want your product right away.
But they'll wait till the last day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and for a small business owner, especially for someone that's relying on cash flow, that becomes a real obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a challenge. That's a challenge. And then obviously learning to manage cash flow, because as soon as you get an influx of cash, you're like, oh, I want to spend it. I want to do this, this, and this. And you have to go, okay, what's going to look like 4 months down the road?
True. Yeah.
And that's a lesson that I've had to learn, because mm-hmm. as soon as I used to see this, I mean, we'd do build a trucks and be $100,000, $200,000 deals at one time. I get a $100,000 check. I want to do this, this, and I want to hire this and that.
Yeah.
And I had to think about, well, this has to work through 6 to 8 months.
Right. Well, especially with sports. I mean, that's seasonal mm-hmm. and all of that. You got the weather, like you said. So yeah, you definitely have to take your time there.
And I think the biggest lesson for any entrepreneur or any business owner is contingencies. Nothing ever goes as planned.
Mm.
It never does.
Expect the unexpected.
Expect, right? Change is inevitable. It never goes as planned. You have forecasts for year 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. It may work year 1, but in year two, it might change.
Mm-hmm.
I had to
deal. It will change.
It absolutely will. And yeah. I've had the experience of going through September 11th when I had a first business. I went through the crash in 2008. You know, so I've gone through these roller coasters. Business is a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
It really is. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, it's like strap on, man. Mm-hmm. It is not a straight road. It's a roller coaster. It's peaks and valleys. And you have to be able to ride that wave and know that this year was great, but I'm not going to expect next year to be the same. I have to plan accordingly.
So true. Craig, thank you so much for coming in and giving us a dose of reality and giving us the real story of what it's like to be an entrepreneur. I mean, you're 17, 18 years into this. I know you've seen a lot, you've learned a lot, and I'm really thankful that you and I have connected and that you were so willing to share so openly here. For the listeners, if they're interested in connecting with you and learning more about InMotion Air, where should they go?
Go to InMotionAir.net. And there's a contact information. My contact information is there. They can contact me anytime, but InMotionAir.net is my company. That's the inflatable sports products that we sell.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you again for being here.
Stephanie, thank you. It was a pleasure.
And thank you to the listeners for tuning in. Remember that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.